Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Years ago, puritanical blue laws in America established Sunday as the new Sabbath day and closed up all amusements and shops and prevented alcohol from being sold on Sunday. People were expected to go to church and do little else. This view of Sunday, however, has become so restrictive, legalistic, and unwholesome as years have passed in America that some people, including myself, rebel against the idea. To illustrate, let me state that here in Indiana, we still have a few blue laws. And if you new Greek students have not yet discovered this in Fort Wayne, you soon will. To my frustration, I have been in line at the Kroger's grocery store on a Sunday, only to be reminded that I cannot purchase certain beverages because it's Sunday. While this kind of a Sabbath blue law does seem at first rather binding and frustrating, there appears to be another opposite extreme, an extreme trend in our culture that may be more threatening to the people of God. It's the anything goes on Sunday mentality. In many respects, Sunday is no different than any other day. Almost all businesses are open now, and many people work on Sunday, which not only pinches good worship habits, but also hinders families from being together. Today in America, only 30% of the faithful find their way to church for worship and Christian education on a Sunday morning. Yes, a few blue laws are still around, and it's sad to say that they are the only public reminders to people today that Sunday is different. Now, we as Lutherans know that Sunday is not the new Sabbath day. Sunday is not the required day for worship. That's why Dr. Martin Luther describes the meaning of the third commandment in this way: we should fear and love God, that we may not despise preaching and His word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear it and learn it. New Testament Christians are not bound to a day of worship as the Jews were in the Old Testament. And Dr. Meyer pointed us in this direction earlier this week when he preached on the distinction between Old Testament and New Testament worship, when he was discussing John 4 and Jesus' address to the woman at the well. Also, St. Paul adds in Colossians, "Let no one criticize you then as to what you eat or drink, or in regard to festival day or Sabbath days. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the body itself is Christ." When the early Christians, both in the book of Acts and within the early church, began to worship and gather on Sunday, they did so because it was the day of resurrection. Not only was it the first day of the week, but it was a new day, the eighth day, in which God the Father, through His Son, has completely restored and redeemed not only His people, but all creation through His sacrificial death and victorious resurrection from the dead. Sunday is a new day, exceeding the seven-day pattern, because on it, Jesus is victorious over sin, over death, over the devil, and over this sinful world. Christians worship on Sunday because on it a new day has dawned for the people of God. To remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy today means precisely what Luther says, that time be set apart, holy time, for hearing and receiving God's precious word. The day is not primary, but what is that his holy word is heard with our ears and received with joy. When the Jews observed the Sabbath day, they both rested and remembered. They rested from their work, and they remembered God's blessings. They were refreshed both physically and spiritually. When have you done that? Both rested physically and remembered spiritually? I think that pastors and those intending to be pastors are better at remembering spiritually than resting physically. At this time, many of you are studying very hard. You're in chapel now, but are you resting? Our lives, our bodies, and our relationships with our families need physical rest. But too often, if you're like me, we feel guilty when we relax. We don't want people to think we're lazy. Yet our lives need both physical and spiritual restoration. Even the triune God who marvelously and miraculously formed our world in 6 days rested on the seventh day. Our bodies need rest. Not only do we need time to rest and recover from physical labor, emotional stress, mental strain, and worry, but we need time to remember and reflect. And time in this way enables us to cast all of our burdens off of ourselves and onto God where they belong. As King David says so beautifully in Psalm 55, cast all of your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. We are committing idolatry of self if we think we can handle everything that comes our way without Sabbath. You may be plowing away in Greek right now, or studying very diligently in that summer course. But are you burning the candle at both ends? And if you are, who's bearing the sacrifice? You? Your wife? Your kids? God told the Israelites that they, their family, their servants, and their animals were not to work, but rest. It was for their good and for the welfare of their family that God gave them Sabbath rest. Do you think that this lack of rest correlates to some of the struggles we hear about in the lives of pastors and their families? Absolutely. Some pastors work many hours for God, of course, while their families get leftovers from Dad. Pastors' salaries generally are lower than other professional fields, causing mom or wife to work. However, if too much time is spent apart, the pastor's family is strained. And when a pastor's marriage gets strained, the wife resents her husband and also the church. And soon Satan likes to put a wedge and to take a foothold in a pastor's life so that the family is not at peace. And when his family is not at peace, the family of God and the congregation suffer as well. A friend of mine who's a pastor encourages all calling congregations in his circuit and district to allow not just one, but 2 days off a week for their pastors. Why? Because, as he says, God may have rested on one day, on the Sabbath day. But just remember, the pastor you're calling isn't God. It's problematic and idolatrous to think we're too busy or that other work is more important than rest with our family. Notice, God wanted no one to work on the Sabbath. If you care for your family and rest with them as you study to be a future pastor, you will serve not only your household well, making them joyful and happy, but you will also in turn serve the greater household of God. To remember the Sabbath, however, is more than physical rest. Our minds need to spiritually remember and reflect upon all of God's promises. When God first spoke of keeping the Sabbath, he wanted his people to remember his gracious acts in the past, so that they in turn would be thankful to him for all of his blessings in their present life. And God's greatest gift began at creation. And in Exodus, when it recounts the Sabbath, it states, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day." By resting, God remembered and saw that his creation was very good. And as we remember, so do we. We remember all that God has done for us on our behalf. God beautifully crafted us, unlike any other creature under heaven, with body and soul and a mind to reason. Every time we gather to worship and hear God's word and receive his sacraments, we remember that we are his creation and his precious children. Soul refreshment and spiritual encouragement is granted when we hear and remember again God's grace in the past. Yet we know that when God gave this command to Israel, he did not simply point to the distant past, but he pointed them to a most current event of present deliverance. When the Israelites were in the wilderness hearing today's reading, they were mindful of their deliverance from Egypt and slavery. God's precious extended hand of deliverance freed the Israelite from horrifying, burdensome slavery. When they saw the firstborn of Egypt killed and the Egyptian army washed away in the Red Sea, they remembered his present deliverance. Today, God, by his grace, offers us present help and deliverance. Yes, we too are burdened like slaves with a sinful flesh slung over our shoulders, and we live with sin all around us. Yet God can and does deliver us now. For our deliverance, God the Father sent us the Lord of the Sabbath himself, Jesus Christ, to conquer sin on the cross. God the Father, in Jesus Christ, extended to us once again the precious hand of deliverance and died that sin and death might be swallowed up forever. The Holy Spirit, through that spoken word now, delivers you, forgives you, and renews you. And just as the waters of the Red Sea were a sign of deliverance to the Jews, so the baptismal waters in that font are always a visible sign reminding you that your sin is buried and that you are covered in Jesus Christ. Death cannot keep its hold on those who are baptized into Jesus Christ. He burst the bonds of death, and your baptism clings to that promise. And when you partake of the supper, as we did yesterday at this altar, you also remember that in the bread and in the wine, Christ gives you himself. He gives you his body and blood, and in that is deliverance from sin. Jesus' invitation to us is always present and very real. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Say what you will about blue laws and Sunday, but the Sabbath is our blessing. In it, God gives us physical rest and spiritual refreshment. Distractions abound for us today to keep us from resting and remembering. But God promises us great blessings when we do. The time of resting puts our lives into perspective. That is, we realize that this life is only temporary and fading, but our eternal rest in Jesus Christ can never be taken away. Heaven is our home. The Sabbath command is for our good, and the spirit of that law still remains. Blessed are we in keeping it. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.